listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 8th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here, you know, as always.
As always, so glad to have you. And so glad to see everybody joining us in the live chat. Always look forward to catching up with you every week. And as always, like to throw a shout out to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, you can find other educational programs at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, looking forward to tonight's discussion, but before we get into that, we're going to cover our 9 principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, Dr. Vicki, looking forward to this discussion. It's very much inspired by all the news regarding the Artemis II mission.
Yeah, we're going to outer space today.
Yeah.
You know, I've been keeping tabs on it. It's really quite fascinating. You know, it's the first time human beings have gone beyond the moon. And, of course, they're cataloging everything. That'd be very exciting for them. Mm-hmm. I'd be terrified myself. Mm-hmm. But I can astral travel out there, but going in the ship is... No, I don't even like heights. You know? But I think with the training, this is the thing that I find so fascinating. How long the human body has to prepare itself, and through all the different, like anti-gravity, you know, it's weightlessness. And what that does to the body. And they're going to go through quite an ordeal when they get back, too. But... everything from, you know, I mean, it's, you know, going through the atmosphere and the radiation, the ship, the pressure, the heat, you know, and how controlled that, you know, their ship has to be. Mm-hmm. And then right down to they've had trouble with the toilet, you know.
Yeah. And can't get the email to work and the bathroom's broken. The joke of the century is just like every office job out there.
Yeah, you know, but that, I mean, so if they're doing this now, of course, the preparation then is to, as I understand it from the scientists I've listened to, is, you know, to put some kind of, you know, station on the moon, and we start preparing to go to Mars. How long does it take to travel to Mars, though? It takes years.
I want to say 10, like something like 10 months when it's at its closest point. And there's so many things about relativity and things you don't think about. You know, for example, when they do Artemis 3, they're going to land in the polar region because we don't really often consider the lunar day and night cycle. You know, it has a day and night just like ours, except that day is, you know, 29 days roughly, just... you know, it's the cycle of the moon, right? That's it going through its day-night cycle. So in the daytime, it can get over 200 degrees, you know, Celsius on the surface. And in the nighttime, it gets, you know, 100 below Celsius. But they're, because they are going to be there for a longer period of time, they're going to go to this, one of the polar regions on the moon because it gets less sunlight. Therefore, the temperature changes are less extreme. So if we're going to have any manned positions, it's going to be towards those poles until we get better technology at insulation and things like that to deal with such extreme heat. You know, and you don't really think about these things. So I was reading this article today. I'm like, yeah, that of course makes sense. Apollo, they went at a certain specific times, and they weren't there very long. Like, they went in the, you know, if they'd been there for one of our, you know, an Earth day, it would have gotten to the point where it was, you know, too hot in that region if they'd stayed any longer than, you know, one or two days there. But we're going to spend longer than that with Artemis. We're going to build these missions. We're going to go further. And these are all the things that we're thinking about with extraplanetary, you know, at least going outside of our orbit. You know, we have the space station. You talked about the damage physically on these astronauts. Very real, being in zero gravity. They have to do a lot of exercise just to kind of maintain bone density and things like that. People on the International Space Station come back. They really, it takes time when they've been up there so many months. There's some videos that are kind of funny where astronauts will be so used to being weightless and out of gravity, and they'll have like a cup in their hand and they'll just let go, assuming it'll just stay there, but it just keeps falling. Same thing with pens in interviews, you'll see it. But, you know, we have to really think about what is humanity going to look like as we travel our solar system, as we go beyond Earth, you know? You brought up so many good points. You know, we're going to have to figure out ways of dealing with that cosmic radiation when we go to a place like Mars. And let me just Google how long that would take.
He's Googling.
Between 6 and 9 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's just to get there.
Round trip would be about 3 years.
Yeah, but you get there and nobody's home, you know?
Well, then so. That's why they have to have fuel to get back and supplies and air. And a lot of things can be recycled, you know, on the International Space Station. All of their extras get recycled and get put back into water and things for oxygen. So there's a lot can be done, but it is a huge undertaking.
Yeah, it boggles my brain, actually. And, you know, not so much when, as Michael and I are both Star Wars freaks, you know, Star Trek freaks. Yeah. And I find so fascinating about back then in the 50s and 1950s, 1960s, everybody, I have to preface the century. I mean, who thought of that and how? Because we're coming into a time when it's almost possible, you know, another 100 years. And of course, a lot of that, you know, in the scripts back there for Star Trek and Star Wars, they would reference back to the century. So they're 200-300 years ahead of us, Michael, right? Isn't that something like that?
Well, in Star Wars, it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, of course. But yeah. In Star Trek, here, let me push my imaginary glasses up on my nose. In Star Trek, by the 90s, in Star Trek lore, they kind of got retconned. But in the OG series, they were already traveling, like, the solar system and going beyond it with nuclear-powered vessels and things like that, sublight speed and things like that. So they thought we were going to be a little further along in the 60s than we actually got. But... you know, there's something else I want to get to, and that's interstellar travel. And exploring our solar system, I think we're going to have colonies on not only Mars and the moon. I think we will be branching out to some of the moons of, like, Jupiter and Saturn and things like that as well. But is it going to be 100 years, 200 years, you know, how long before, you know, we're going to have the technology where it's, you know, feasible and economically to, you know, go to these places for, you know, resources or land or, you know, biomes and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's an incredible world. I highly recommend, for this kind of thought and this kind of sci-fi space travel type thing, checking out, The Expanse. It's kind of very grounded. It's, all space travel, space things in our solar system. So, you know, you have Earth, you have kind of like a united Earth, you have Mars, you have people in the belt, all these different societies kind of popping up in the solar system, and then, you know, aliens get thrown in and interstellar travel comes. But, you know, that's a question. A lot of, you know, learned people have, you know, posited that it might not realistically be possible to travel between stars. You know, and even the closest one, if we could go at light speed, you know, it would still take a few years, but how do we get to light speed? You know, how do we, it's the how, it might not be possible.
I think we have technology we're not using, though. I mean, let's think back to Tesla. You know,
Tesla's just an electric motor. I mean, do you mean Nikola Tesla? Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of things that have been kept. I was talking to somebody the other day saying, I think Apple already knows the phone they want to sell us in 10 years, but they got to sell us these other ones first so they make money. You know, so it's all this experimenting with things because we have to be psychologically prepared as well. I wonder, in my mind, you know, I think, I wonder how much they're hiding. You know?
You never know. I think, you know, there are, I will agree that there are technologies restricted higher levels. Hold on one second. Cough. Excuse me.
Well,
You know, I think if Apple had, if there's that kind of thing, it's got to be a global thing because it's not just Apple. It's Samsung. It's Google. It's
well,
all
sure,
these companies.
That's what I mean.
And, you know, if Apple had this edge, they would do it to get more market share. But, you know, it's, but so I kind of get your saying, and depending on your view of UAPs and what kind of coordination the United, you know, any world government might have with extraterrestrials and things like that. Okay. We can, I get that. But if we're just going to stay on the human path and no alien help, you know, how long would it take? What's it look like? You know, everybody's seen the movies. We all know the theories. You have wormholes, you have jump gates, you have warp drives, you have slipstream, you have da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. Donna, love your Dune reference. She says we need to find some worms and spice. Yep, we do. We do. You know, the spice Dune. Melange. But again, it's just going to be an interesting world. Humanity's been around for a few hundred thousand years. I'd like to think we can be around in some form for at least another few hundred thousand, which is a blink of a cosmic eye. And what's it going to look like? How far are we going to go? What's it going to look like when we can beat the, you know, when we can have reliable radiation shielding and, you know, recycling of air and resources? You know, how are we going to food? You know, how are we going to grow things? Because everything you take, there's not, if you can put a base on Mars or the moon or Ganymede or Titan, you know, any of these places, you're still going to have to transport the soil too. It's not like the dirt there is going to have the nutrients to grow things. You know, everything's going to have to be taken with you. So all of these things.
Well, it might grow things. Like there might be microbes and it would grow things, but what our human bodies require, like every species requires certain nutrients, and could it provide that?
Like, I mean, are we going to have
like the movies? Yeah. Are we going to have our own greenhouses and bring our own seeds?
Exactly. You know? And you know, will the soil on Mars? I'm going to tell you, I haven't seen The Martian starring Matt Damon. I really should. But I think he tries to grow food in Martian soil, if I'm not mistaken on what I know of the film. And I think it works out. But, like, how would that work? All these different little things you don't really think about when you're thinking about this because, you know, you have replicators and things like that. But it's just going to be – I can't wait to see it. I think that – and again, I'm just nerding out here. I think dehydration and freeze-drying foods is probably going to be a huge way to go. I follow a lot of people that like do hiking and things, and I hike vicariously through them on Instagram Reels. But they will, you know, they have these dehydrators, and they dehydrate all kinds of stuff. And then you can – it stores for a very long time. It's, you know, lightweight, and you just have to, you know, put some water in. Get it going, you know, and good to go.
Well, my daughter and her husband, my oldest daughter and her husband, a couple of years ago, did what's called the West Coast Trail on Vancouver Island. Well, they did half of it because it's many, many, many miles long. And they took all the dehydrated foods because you could only go in with a backpack. Like, it's all hiking and crossing over river, the little creeks and rivers. And they had a great time, but it's really grueling. But the only foods you can carry was certainly your, you know, you have to have enough water. And then there are water stations where you refill your bottles. But it's dehydrated food, and you have to, and they have to carry their cookware. They build a fire. They had to boil the water, you know, all the stuff for dehydrated foods. And it's a... I mean, lots of people do that as hobbies. I can't believe it. You know, it's like, oh, we should go on a hike, Mom. No. Well, because my idea of hiking is a really nice, gentle stroll in the park. Yeah, they go hiking. They're mountain climbers. They're skiers. They're really active. And my daughter's not a mountain climber, but, you know, it's Sam, my son-in-law, takes the kids and they've all been in mountain climbing, gets the ropes and stuff. And, oh, man. But that's what they do. They'll go 3-4 days camping, sleep in a tent that's really rugged. And that's kind of where you have to have a certain skill set. And I know it sounds like I'm transgressing here, but really you have to have a certain skill set to go to a foreign place and – figure it out. You know, dehydrated food. Well, what happens when you run out of your dehydrated food? How much can you take?
Yeah. You know, little guides and things, some, you know, quick tips, like if you can remember anything. One of the things was look and watch what other animals eat. There's one way to do it. But yeah, there's a lot of trial and error, I think. How do you, it's a common joke. The first guy that found out that, you know, eating clams and mussels and stuff wouldn't kill you, or that, you know, like if you kill a certain kind of deadly puffer fish in a very specific way, you can eat it without being poisoned. You know, what was the, you know, experimentation on that one like? I mean.
Oh, how many had to die to figure that out?
Right.
Yeah, I mean. That's just it. There's we've come really far as a species.
We have.
And we're now taking, like in 50 years, we have taken this massive leap. Massive leap. And now, okay, now we're planning on going to Mars. We're going to colonize Mars, colonize the moon. I mean, you know what comes to mind? Silly me. It's Planet of the Apes. What if you do come across another species? Oh, man, they're in trouble. Invading another species on another planet.
But the thing I'm is, just saying. It was Earth all along, Dr. Vicky. No, you know, spoiler alert. But you know, it is going to be an interesting world. And I wish I could see where humanity is 1,000 years from now. I want to see where humanity is 100,000 years from now.
We were talking Michael, about, you're going to fall in the trap and be reincarnated for the next 2,000 years.
Well, make it 100,000 because I want to see where we go. Unless it's like a dystopia. In any case, I don't want it. I don't want the dystopia. But, you
the
know.
Mad Max.
you know, we were talking about Dune a little bit. That takes place 10,000 years from now. You know, ironically, after there was a, you know, giant war to defeat AI overlord. But I digress, you know, that's not realistic at all. We'll never see anything like that. But it is going to be interesting to see where we go. And it's going to be interesting to see how humans adapt physically. You had talked
about
the radiation.
You
talked about the zero G. Exactly. In the show The Expanse, it is something that is very much part of it. People that are from Mars, Mars has lower gravity. It is harder for them to operate in Earth gravity, and that's something that they discuss. People that are on the belt and then people that live predominantly in space, they have a much lower tolerance to Earth gravity, and, you know, it's almost painful for them to be in Earth gravity, and all these things are going to have to be considered. And this is a very real thing that we're going to have to deal with one day. What about relative time? If we do travel between stars, time will not be progressing at an even rate for people living in the different star systems. You know, so
star dates are different.
How is that going to work? There's a game I'm playing now because I have to bring everything around to pop culture and games. There's a game I'm playing right now called Starfield, and in it you travel between, you know, different star systems. Humans have colonized much of our near space. But the one interesting thing you do is you can rest and sleep in the game. You eat, sleep, you know, do things like you would. And what you see is, you know, how much local time will elapse versus how much, you know, universal standard time elapses, which is a nice feature, I think. And, you know, little things like that pop up, which is just very interesting how they worked it in. But, again, these are, you know, things to consider. It's just, it's going to be so interesting to see how humanity tackles these challenges. And I really hope we get to. I hope we get to the point where we're not stupid enough to do anything, and we get to the point where humanity really gets into the good stuff. And, oh, God.
I'm sorry. I think going to the moon, colonizing the moon, you know, there's likely a whole species living under the surface. And they're not going to like that. I'm just saying.
Well, I guess, you know, anything's possible. I'd be shocked, I'll tell you that much. But, you know, anything's possible.
Well, they could be lizards, could be snakes, could be actual beings. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something, you know,
Maybe.
Under the surface.
Well, I mean, so what's the odds that it would be sentient, you know? But again, I mean, maybe. I would be shocked if there was any life on the moon. Or Mars, for that matter. Any life that we would consider, you know, plant or animal. There might be microbes and things, but we shall see, I suppose.
I've just got a vision of all these ships coming out of these big craters and saying, what are you doing here?
You know, it's funny that you say that. I, being the refined gentleman of taste that I am, I've been watching the DuckTales reboot, and any millennial will know it's a DuckTales is a show that was on Disney with Donald Duck, you know, Scrooge McDuck and all the characters, Huey, Dewey and Louie. And I've been watching the reboot they did in 2017. It's great. It's perfect for millennials. What I'll tell you is also they have this whole thing where the triplets' mom goes exploring space and gets stuck on the moon. And all kinds of little funny things. Like, the reason she can breathe and eat is because the scientist on the show invented this gum that's black licorice flavor, that provides all the oxygen and nutrients that you need forever and ever. So, all these little funny things. But there are these people living on the moon, right? And there's this whole story about how they want to take over Earth. And then they have this giant engine that's going to force the Earth to rotate around the moon. So then the moon is the planet and the Earth is the thing orbiting it. It's this whole thing. That's just a fun little aside to eat up some time because
fun.
You talked about the possibility of people on the moon. That's funny.
No, it is fun. It is fun. Yeah. You know, on another note, Chris Bledsoe, when I had said on a previous program, had been talking to the celestial being who said that on April 6, 2026, when Iran and Iraq are firing missiles at each other, these great orbs would come out of the ocean. Well, now, if they came out of the ocean, Michael, nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
I didn't hear a word.
That's kind of the thing, too, these days. Everybody has it's a kind of a double-edged sword wherein we all have phones and we can record anything anytime. But AI is a thing now and you can't trust anything. So
I know. Well, I'm still on the lookout for these you know, orbs that come out of the ocean. I mean, I think they have, but before it's been recorded that things can go into the ocean. And yeah, you know, I don't want to digress. I'm just saying April 6th came and went, and I'm still trying to, you know, surf a little bit. Nope, nope, don't see it. Nobody's talking about it. So anything is possible.
And you think that people would be talking about it if given the opportunity, given how many fake hoaxes there are out there to generate views. I swear, monetizing social media was a mistake. I know people that make money off of it, and they're good people, and you know, there's some good influence out there that do good work, spreading good messages, and they rely on that income. But as a whole, yep, on society, I can't help but think that monetizing social media was just bad, because now people will lie and create anything, any narrative they can, if it creates engagement, if it gets people looking at something. And because it can be so anonymous, you have these companies that will generate so much just fake information, fake stuff, outrage, AI photographs, just playing off of everybody's fears just to get clicks. It is doing just incredible damage, and it's unfortunate that that's happening right now. Around, we're talking space travel. I'm going to bring this back to space travel in that you have people online that think the Artemis rockets were inflated. And they're passing around AI-generated pictures of a partially inflated Artemis rocket. And they're thinking it's true. And we still have to deal with the fact that there are people that genuinely in their hearts think the Earth is flat. Yeah.
Anyway. No, it would be their minds, not their heart. I'm just saying.
Poetic license, you know, if you don't mind.
Sure, I mean, oh boy, we could go on forever. This is what do you trust? Even the AI, there's that company that was providing AI for the government, the U.S., has an update version that they're not releasing because they think it's dangerous. That just came out today. You know, we talked about AI in the past. AI, I think, is required for space travel.
It probably is. And there's a type of AI that's not typically dangerous. There's LLMs, it's language learn models, like something along those lines. I'm tired at this point. I'm sorry, folks. But that can be done in a very safe way where you're not really dealing with a true consciousness, even though we really don't know how consciousness works and we might stumble into it. The fact that people are trying to create a machine intelligence that's at least equal to human intelligence is troubling on just so many levels. You know, ethical, most of all, but, you know.
Well, we shall see, but let's wish those folks on the Artemis 2 a safe return back to Earth.
Well said.
And by this time next week, they'll have landed. And we'll just do a brief update. Who knows what we'll talk about next week.
It's going to be a good one, and I can't wait to see what happens in terms of, I think it's 2028. To kind of wrap up this topic, I think 2028 is when we're planning on the next landing. Just much like the Apollo missions, we have the unmanned, then we have the manned test, then we do the final landing. So it's going to be very interesting. But it is that time of the evening, though. I know we're going to be pulling some cards here shortly. So to our live listeners, if you want a card pulled for yourself, just throw your name in the chat. We'll pull you an inner oracle card, and you'll grab a tarot card. And yeah, but no, it's an interesting time. We'll give folks a minute to catch up and put their names in, but I got to say, I tried to see if I could see the launch, and just from my perspective, because I'm on the west coast of Florida, launches on the east coast of Florida, and a lot of times in good conditions, you can see the rocket trail and things, but I did not get to see it, but I did watch it live, and that is a special feeling. Thinking about those humans going further than Apollo 13 did, you know, it's just incredible. And it makes me proud of the species for once. But we do have some names coming up, but as I get these pulled up, I'm going to pull some cards here. One other thing I want to shout out is just social media has its ups and downs, but one thing I've loved is just seeing all the people and their reactions to the launch. You know, this is real history here, and it's just incredible. So All right. Well, we do have some names in, and I think Dr. Kevin is our first car poll of the evening.
He is.
All right. So, Dr. Kevin, for you, I have number 20, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. And release with patience.
Ooh, communications here. The Knight of Wands, or the Knight of Clubs, Jack of Clubs. Oh, he is a communicator. He brings about change. So if there's something in your life you're wanting to change or points you want to get across, I don't know, I just had this picture in my head suddenly, Kevin, of you going to a public group or, oh, Wendy, our card keeper says you had that card, deliberate intent, back in March, early March, about a month ago. So, but thanks for that, Wendy. So what I'm seeing is you talking to a group or talking to some folks and conveying a message or something. So it's deliberate intent. What do you want to say? Focus on what you want and be that communicator, Kevin. You know, I want to add that no point is too small. Those who need to hear it will listen. Oh, that was profound, Michael. Gee, I don't know where that came from. A little voice from the back of my mind. So I hope that makes sense to you, Kevin. I feel really good about what's going on in your life right now, Kevin, so it's good. All right, Audra. We have Audra.
Yeah, I've been.
What do you got?
I had so much good commentary earlier with that whole turn of the tongue that you had there, and it was gone because I had myself on mute. Audra, I might not be as eloquent as Dr. Vicky, but I got number one, wildcard number one, paradox. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think it does. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. Excuse me. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Ten of Pentacles. So the Ten of Diamonds. I love paradox. It's never what we think it is. This is about money and finances, the marketplace, buying and selling. This could be to do with your work. Think of even when things are seeming a little tough, they're actually good. You know, the outcomes are good, Audra. I can see some financial things in your life getting cleared up in unexpected ways. So, I love paradox. Basically, it's don't sweat the small stuff. I just want to say that to you. But also don't take for granted what you think is already going smoothly, because it could take an edge. Because, you know, paradox works both ways, you know. I've got a really positive feeling, a positive spin on this. So, you know, paradox and that Ten of Diamonds with the money thing, I feel good, Audra. I think you're coming into a bit of money. That's what I think. Okay. I went out on a limb.
I would like hearing that.
That's
right, a good thing to go out on.
It is. All right, we have Dr. Jeff, blind outdoorsman on all social media platforms.
Always a good shout out. Check him out. Dr. Jeff, for you, I have number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values to ensure they are healthy, and answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented? Love that card.
I do, too, and I got the Tower, and that's not to freak out about. You know, the Tower always has a foundation. It's like the appearance of something might look a little differently, but you're in this reinventing time. So for just because, I pulled another card, Jeff, and it's the Magician. So some of your new ideas, switching things up, it's actually going to benefit you. You know, and sometimes practice makes perfect, you know. You know, as Dr. Kelly would say, you know, you throw something at the wall and see what sticks. So I feel like all the shifts and changes that you're making are starting to, you're going to start seeing the benefits of that, Jeff. And just keep pouring those new ideas in, you know, just keep going with them. Very cool. You know, I have to inject here. Thank you for that, Audra. She says, I'm moving and put a final money order payment for my rent in the Dropbox Sunday. The Dropbox is broken into. My apartment manager calls this afternoon to tell me and ask me to try and get a refund for the money orders to then repay them. So it has to do with money. So, but it's going to go your way, so you're going to be fine. Anyway. All right, we have Donna next. Good to see you, Donna.
Donna, always like having you. And I have another wild card for you tonight. It's wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still. Their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude, a behavior, or something else that requires adjustment to once again take a step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that person lowers their personal entropy and the world becomes a better place.
I got the Fool. First card of the tarot. I know it's such a weird term for that card, but it's all about beginning, taking chances, taking risks. I think you're embarking. This might be a slow process for you, Donna, and it doesn't matter. It's a slower process of, you know, leaping forward into change. Some people do it in a day, and you're taking your time. But this is also about moving forward and changing your entropy, changing your energy, shifting it more in balance with who you are. And I find that an affirmation more than anything for you. So Wendy has said in the chat, you have not had this card before, but you, Donna, have had more wild cards than regular cards. Which in my world, it's more about consciousness, spirituality. There's an evolution for your spirit taking place. And again, that might be over a year's period, 2 year period, but now even small steps are massive for some people, and you're taking your own small steps in your own way and, you know, lifting yourself forward in your life. And that's awesome. So take your time, do you, be in your own process, and, you know, even those little risks are big to you. So keep going. That's what I say. You're following your own path.
I love it. All right.
Oh, we have our card keeper, Wendy.
Wendy, it is always a pleasure. And for you tonight, I get number 42, trust integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles. It's soundness of moral character, and it's honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, are the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Ooh, I got the Sun. Ooh, the Sun has everything to do with new life. Trust, integrity, new life. I think that you could be getting a new pulse, like, how do I say this? A word I'm looking for. Inspiration again, Wendy. You might have gone through a bit of a questioning time or, being distracted or unsure, uncertain, but it's starting to plug back in again. And say, no, I know I'm right. I know that I'm on the right track. Just gain some skills, plug it back in, and you're off to the races. So, like you're, I want to say, and I'm not saying that your energy has been low. I'm just saying that your energy is rising again and feeling motivated. So, carry on as you know to do. Integrity. Yep. Oh, thanks for the feedback, Kevin. You know, we had deliberate intent in the Jacket Clubs for Kevin, and he said it makes sense. His theater group is moving towards original scripts that deal with the day-to-day challenges of aging in the U.S. I'm getting a lot of pushback, so this encourages me to continue to advocate for our group.
All right,
Good.
good. And as a USian, as Vicky would say, I know your pain. I've had asthma my whole life. I mean, I work with a lot of seniors. Trust, yeah, that is a rough adventure. So, you have to be tough to get old.
Oh, geez, we know. Aaliyah came in at the last minute. She's sure like a card, Michael. What do you got?
Well, I have for you tonight number 27, gains. And I don't know that we pull this one in a minute. All right, so gains. Every choice in action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and that price is denial of a truth, or of a truth of a situation, or a truth of a behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Oh, you know, the Queen of Clubs or the Queen of Wands with games. I want to say has to do, and again, I partner these cards. It's like they have a message together. And I want to say it's everything to do with independence, Aaliyah, of gains. It's value for value in the world. And how are you gaining more of your individuality, your autonomy, your independence, the freedom to feel like, you are? And what is the trade-off then? Sometimes there's that cognitive dissonance. We like what we have, but we want more, but we might have to give something up. But giving up something might just be an idea. Sometimes it's not a physical thing we have to surrender. It's just a notion, an idea, a belief system that doesn't serve you anymore. And so that's what I'm saying. This is about a new stage of womanhood, and motherhood. But mothering doesn't mean you have to have your own children. Motherhood can be insightful in the world, because that's what the great mother is. She's insightful for all. So I think that, little glimmers for yourself, Aaliyah, of your independence. I want to keep going back to that word. So, good for you. And thank you to Wendy for feedback. She said her energy has been low, lately, and she's been lacking some motivation. But, and thanks for that. Always spot on. You're going to be fine, Wendy. We all go through that. Sometimes we just need to chill out and say, yeah, not today. And other times we have to kick ourselves and say, no, I need discipline. And if you get even one thing done today, you're good. Don't forget, you still fed the dogs, so the critters are, taken care of. So you're not totally without motivation. It's just motivation for what? And that's ultimately the question. And Sometimes we just need to regenerate our batteries. And again, I go back to that kind of a get a picture in your mind of a computer hard drive needing to defragment with new information and software, you know, so everything can run smoother. So, it's all right, Wendy. You got this. No doubt about it.
I love it.
So, oh, Aaliyah says she's the GG again this year. Congratulations.
That is wonderful news.
It is.
Absolutely congratulations.
Congrats. Yep.
And, you know, I got to say, as will often happen, you know, I really appreciate what you said, Dr. Vicky. Often you'll be you know, firing off some truth and wisdom. And every now and again, I catch a stray wisdom bullet there, you know, with just it's what you just said. I was trying to clumsily make a metaphor, but
that
connects. And Wendy, I feel you, but Dr. Vicky said it the best, and I hope that hits as much for you as it did for me. But yeah, you're getting through this. You're going to be good. And yeah, I love this. Yeah. I love this group that we got.
You know, I'd like to. I'm prepared now to share a little bit of good news with the group, because as most of you have known, I have had an estranged son who, many years ago, you know, took to the evangelical church and went his own way, and we hadn't talked in 15 years, and he reached out to me. We had a visit. He traveled here. We had time together. We've since been messaging, and I can comfortably say I have my son back and no longer involved with organized religion. So everybody's got their own journey. And that was part of my journey to, you know, even that distinction between being a mother versus my knowing of each of us has our own karmic path, so to speak, you know, that free sovereign beings of the universe to go and do what you need to do, learn life in your own way. So there was that at odds in myself. But what's so interesting for me is from the time we stopped talking, and all the emotions of that, how it can suddenly, in one sitting, and us doing this healing conversation that was really extraordinary, to plug right back into those emotions again, like 15 years didn't happen. You know, I'm just so glad for him. I told him this. I'm so glad you've grown into the man you were born to be. So, yeah, it's been quite a trip. So I'm sharing good news. Very happy about this.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you shared that too. And it is wonderful news. And it is a crazy world right now. The fact that this wonderful, wonderful thing is happening is just good to hear. Good for the soul. Thank you so much for sharing. And I know that I speak for everybody in the chat as well who's chiming in on this. But congratulations. So happy for you. You know, just so very happy this is happening to you, where this connection is coming back, and for you in this relationship, and also for your son and his family not to be bound by that dogma is just incredible. So love it.
Well, and of course this summer they're coming out with the family, and he said, "You want to meet your grandkids?" I said, "Well, how do you know I'm an awesome grandma?" So yeah, of course I want to meet your kids, you know? That's an extension of you, and that's fun. So he sent me pictures, and you know, we've sent messages back and forth, and my heart is full. And thanks for all the wonderful comments in the chat, everybody. I appreciate that. It's been quite the trip. I had long given up on this day ever happening, so it's quite an experience. Yep. Yeah, you can't beat that, hey, Michael?
Oh, I got nothing to stop that.
I know, I have nothing after that.
But, Yeah, I'm just so happy for you. And it's gonna be one of those joys of life. You know, you talk about reasons to be around, to enjoy this world, and that's just one of the best ones. Connecting with family, you're gonna meet your grandkids, you're gonna build those relationships. All of the wonder and the possibility. I love it. So happy for you.
You know, when people reach out, and I think this is a time, and I think this collectively, globally, in some way, we're reaching out to each other where we feel most safe and most loved, and reconnecting, you know, with people in our own frequencies, if that makes sense. It's like a magnet. Where do you belong? And trying to find that sense of belonging. And along with that is repeating numbers. Michael, so many times every day, all these repeating numbers and people I talk to, they're all having the same thing. There's some big shift in the cosmos. No matter what's going on in the mundane world, there is this shift taking place. You know, we're deciding who we are, who we want to be, who we want to be with, who's in our sphere of influence. And I've heard of other really cool stories. You know, we hear some negative ones too, saying, that's where I draw the line, no boundaries. But making those decisions helps us to rise into more of who we are. And I've said this time and again, we're in a year of correction. And I can't pretend to tell you how this all unfolds or exactly, you know, the one day. I think it's, you know, over a period of events, but we're deciding that. And, you know, one thing we can't do is lose hope for humanity and hope for our own evolution in whatever form that takes. You know, that's why I always say, don't let them push you around out there. It's no matter what goes on in the world. It's like, no, you can't affect me. You can't infect me. You can't change who I am. I know who I am, and I'll stand where I need to stand. But no, don't let that negativity affect you at all.
I love
my
it.
Little speech.
It was a good speech. It was a good one. Well, everything that she said, I 100% agree. So I'm going to say ditto. One of the most elegant things I think I can say. But, God.
You know?
Life is such a weird tapestry, isn't it?
It is.
It has ups, it has downs. But, my God, it can be truly beautiful. So, I can't think of anything better to go out on than that. I mean, it is getting towards that time of the evening, but man, this has been a really good discussion. I always love talking space travel, but most
I think next week we should. Sorry.
I was just saying, most importantly, we should talk about.
We should talk about reincarnation next week.
I'm down for it.
Yeah, reincarnation it is.
I want to reincarnate 10,000 years from now with all my memories and personality to see what stuff's like. That's what I want. So that's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to that discussion. But thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you so much, Dr. Rick, for sharing that wonderful story, that news. And, I mean, you had a banger that you went out with earlier, but do you have any last thoughts for us tonight before we sign off?
You know, I just want to say I appreciate every Wednesday night sharing this time. So thank you very much. Really, it's a privilege to be here. It is, and I'm grateful.
Privilege is mine, trust me. It is my absolute pleasure to have you here and to have everybody joining us. But, man, I couldn't do this without you, and I look forward to it every week to catch up with you and to have a chat with you and to have a chat with our audience. So thank you so much. Thank everybody so much for joining us every week, and I can't wait to see you next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.